everyone. Of course, Ken's not with us this morning. He had a minor procedure and sends his best and will be back with us next Sunday. We're very fortunate in his stead to have with us Wilson Kennedy, who is our general presbyter. And of course, this is his last Sunday in that position. He has another wonderful opportunity with the denomination starting tomorrow, I guess, where he'll be in charge of some fundraising there. And even though the job's based in Louisville, he'll be lucky enough to work virtually. So we'll still see Wilson, I'm sure, again from time to time. I never knew Wilson personally because I'm not steeped in all the presbytery activities that some of you are. But over the last few months, as a part of the pastor nominating committee, I've gotten to know him on quite a personal basis. And he has just been wonderful in so many ways, and I will certainly miss him, you know, starting tomorrow in that capacity. But I can't say enough, Wilson, about all of your help and guidance that you've given our committee throughout this whole process. Yeah. There are a few announcements. There's a Congregational Life team meeting on this coming Wednesday, the 20th, in the Martin House Library at 10 o'clock. I guess Presbyterians at the Pub is this Thursday, if my memory's correct. And we have a new Sunday school class that I think started today, although I didn't get a chance to make it. My brother was in town for his high school reunion, and we got a chance to catch up over breakfast before he left to go back to Atlanta. And I want to congratulate everybody last week with the wonderful, results that we had for the fundraiser for the Christmas decorations. I was home with COVID and wish I had been there, but I was so glad to get that negative test later in the week and get back into normal activities again. So with that, we'll move into the peace. So the peace of Christ be with you all. The Lord is in the holy temple. Sisters and brothers, let us strive to live in peace with each other.
Such is the will of the Lord, our God.
Let us worship God. And now let us pray. We come before you, O God, with open hearts and eager spirits. We yearn to hear your voice and know your will. Speak to us, we pray, in this hour and all the hours of our lives. Let us live unto you in such a way that when we come to die, we shall die unto you also. This we ask in the Savior's name. Amen. Be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. Now, praying in silence. And together we pray. Almighty God, we confess before you and each other that we have been quick to find fault and slow to forgive. We eagerly look for offense and hesitate to acknowledge virtue. Wanton warfare afflicts our world, and those who would wage peace are ridiculed. Forgive us our hostile ways, and set our vision afresh on the paths of peace. Through Jesus, who suffered, died, and was raised for us. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 50. Listen for God's word. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to Joseph, he wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 4. Listen for God's word. "Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat. For God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Also those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue give praise to God.' So then, each of us will be accountable to God." This is the word of God.
Christ our Lord, on Grace and peace to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you so much to the session for inviting me to come and be here this morning in Ken's absence. It's always good to be here in Dalton. I'm especially privileged to be here, as Steve mentioned, since this is my last day of service as the General Presbyter of the Presbytery. I am admittedly wrought with emotions at the prospect of moving on and responding to the call of the Holy Spirit to move on to my next place of ministry, serving our entire denomination as the Associate Director of Special Offerings and Appeals in the Administrative Services Group. As Steve mentioned, that work will be working with our four special offerings and then also all of our digital fundraising, direct mail fundraising, and the Presbyterian Giving Catalog. So whenever you receive things in the mail from the PCUSA, please think of me and think of me fondly. I am excited to do that work, and as Steve mentioned, I'll be able to continue to live in Roswell and travel with some frequency to Louisville, where the national offices are located, and then all over the church, spreading the good news of the ways in which the Presbyterian Church USA is alive and well and enlivening Christ's reign of justice and love and peace all around the world. And it's an honor to be able to do that work, and I'm glad to be able to continue being a minister member of Cherokee Presbytery, although you won't see me for a while if you go to a Presbytery meeting or things like that, because it will only be appropriate for me to be away while our coordinating team searches for its next General Presbyter, and that person has the ability and time to become settled in their role. I certainly would never want to interfere, whether intentionally or not, in the ministry of my predecessor, just in the way that many of your pastors in your past have done so as a gift to you all. Thank you again for the opportunity to be here and to share in worship together on this most special day in my life. Thank you. A little birdie before church told me that your sound person, Alex, was featured on the front page of the Dalton paper earlier this week for some work that he did with the Board of Education, and I think it's appropriate to always lift up in the body of Christ when good things are happening and when people do amazing things. So we want to say thank you for all the ways in which that you have spoken to those who are decision makers in this community and have done your good work. So thank you so much. As we return to God's Word, listen to this story from Matthew's Gospel, the fourth chapter, verses 1 through 11. Listen now for God's Word to us this morning. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to Jesus and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'One shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered the devil, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Yet Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of the most significant books I read in my undergraduate studies began with this sentence: "The world is not made up of islands." I will never forget "The world is not made up of islands" because our first class assignment was to memorize it. My professor, German de Sassa, required every student in his introduction to education class to read this book and memorize the first sentence. The world is not made up of islands. Now, my not quite fully formed 20-year-old brain thought this sentence made no sense. Why would Dr. de Sassa make us memorize this seemingly untrue statement? The world is made up of humongous islands. After all, Australia, a continent, is an island. What is this book talking about? Frustrated, I put the book down. If a book cannot even speak truthfully about how our world is geographically situated, then it is certainly not worth my time, I thought. But having memorized the sentence and not completed the reading, I sauntered into the next class meeting not knowing what to expect. German, as his students call him, taught education at Presbyterian College for almost 30 years. He doesn't teach in a lecture style. He instead teaches through proverbs from his native Ethiopia. Our class time on that day, I did not complete the reading, began with German saying, "The world is not made up of islands." And when you realize this, dear students, you will have all the tools you need to teach, provide medical care, litigate in court, preach the gospel, or run a business. However, until you realize this, you will be the person for whom the Ethiopian proverb was written, "You can't spit on my back and make me think it's rain." When I walked into that classroom, I was a privileged kid from a nice family in a small town who had never faced the reality of a global society. I had never really known freedom because I was brought up in a cycle full of ought-tos and should-to declarations that are so prevalent in our daily rhetoric. The opening sentence of that book, which I had put down because, although it's technically inaccurate, totally changed my worldview. It opened my eyes to see that I am just one small part of a large global community. My world, my connections, my family, my circles of influence are all just one small concentric circle wrapped up within billions of other concentric circles that make up the collection of connective tissues we call planet Earth. The world is truly not made up of islands, and it became my task to discover the essence of who I was, even as a wild and woolly 20-year-old college sophomore, and in that discovery, discover the true freedom we know in Jesus Christ. I believe that experiences like the one I had in German's classroom many years ago are the intended outcome of the interaction between Matthew's devil character and Jesus immediately following his baptism at the beginning of his earthly ministry. The devil takes Jesus on a whirlwind tour of places and situations that show Jesus the literal and figurative heights of being God with us. During his earthly ministry, Jesus was assumed by many to be a king or a ruler with the authority to match. And so the writer of the Gospel of Matthew, their particular purview as someone speaking to a mostly Jewish audience, puts a focus on this presumption, since the Messiah in Jewish teaching is the king who has not yet come. The kingship of Jesus is an important facet of this story, since the devil character uses it to perpetuate Jesus' otherness from the rest of humanity. Jesus is a little bit different than you or me. However, Jesus reverses the roles on this tempter. Jesus rebuts every display of earthly power with the liberating power of what the 18th and 19th century theologian Friedrich Schleiermacher calls absolute or total dependence, utter dependence on God. Every place the devil takes him, Jesus de-emphasizes his high and worthy status and simply emphasizes the necessity to be completely and utterly dependent on God. Our Lord found freedom from the tempter's snare in the simplicity of absolute dependence on God. No parlor tricks, no theological gymnastics, just the freedom of saying one does not live by bread alone. What freedom we find when we face life's dangers, toils, and snares with the everlasting knowledge that we are all utterly dependent on God. And God returns that utter dependence with abiding presence and never-ending relationship. The world is not made up of islands. We are all connected. And this freedom points us to the radical reality that God is right alongside us with every step we take. For Jesus, utter dependence or holistic necessity for God's gift of relationship is not about the prizes or accolades that comes along with the status of being God's beloved. Jesus shows us in today's passage that true freedom, holy liberation, is not populistic pronouncements of faithfulness or pseudo-pietistic popularity polls that attempt to determine who among us is the most faithful. Indeed, that book from my sophomore year of college is true. The world is not made up of islands. We are all interconnected because we are all created and loved by God. And that frees us to be exactly who God created us to be, nothing more, nothing less. That's another type of freedom, holy freedom, which is eternal relationship with our Creator. And it fuels our daily living. Discovering anew the freedom we find in Christ Jesus, that is to be utterly dependent on God, is one of the most profound opportunities given to us in our Christian journey. The 20th century pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes of freedom in a sermon. He says, "In the language of the Bible, freedom is not something humanity has for ourselves, but something we have for others. No person is free as such as that is in a vacuum, in the way that they may be musical or intelligent. Freedom is not a quality which can be revealed. It is not a possession, a presence, or an object, nor is it a form of existence, but a relationship and nothing else. In truth," he continues, "freedom is a relationship between two persons. Only in relationship with the other am I free." Bonhoeffer's writing becomes a mirror for our journey as a people of faith, and I contend a mirror for your journey as First Presbyterian Church. Remember what he writes: freedom is not a possession, a presence, or an object. It is a relationship between two persons. God has given you, friends, a holy opportunity to discover your own sense of freedom, to be a community not for yourselves, but for the other. And you know what? Your assets are mighty. You are a group of highly committed and faithful Presbyterians, which means you care first for the community. You have an amazing history that can be leveraged as you consider where the Spirit is leading you in your future ministries. Ministries that you or I, we can't even imagine right now, but God is already planning for them. So friends, live into that freedom, not for yourselves, but for the other. Continue to grow your connections in the community through your Matthew 25 ministry. Open your doors to whomever wants to come inside, regardless of who they are, what they do or don't believe. Be the people of God who have the freedom to say we are utterly, totally, completely dependent on God. And we're listening for God's next move in our lives. So come join us as we ask deep questions, joyfully serve together, and worship God in amazing ways. Indeed, when you do this, you are living into the freedom Christ shows us when facing the devil's temptation to be grandiose and on top of the world. Instead, we are called to be simple in our actions and to remember that radical love is our currency. You know, there's no transaction in God's ongoing creative activity. There is only love when you live into the radical freedom for the other. Southminster Presbyterian Church is a small congregation in Boise, Idaho. Their congregation saw so many Idahoans suffering under the weight of massive medical debt. Realizing that, several church members came to their church's session and their church's pastor with an idea to find a way that might wipe out medical debt for a few of Boise's most marginalized people. The Southminster session discerned that this was a valuable way to be present for someone else and invited any other churches in the Presbytery of Boise to join. Several did, and their collective gift of $15,000 wiped out $1.6 million of medical debt for 971 Idahoans through a nonprofit called RIP Medical Debt, which buys debt bundles and relieves them for marginalized Americans. Southminster's former pastor, Marcy Glass, suggests that to have a project you can tangibly see the results of is a nice change for nonprofits and for churches. So that feels good. Southminster caught on to the freedom for the other we find when we are indeed utterly, totally, completely dependent on God. And they understood their responsibility as a people called to care deeply for those whose backs were forced upon the wall by the crushing weight of medical debt. You know what? I believe this is where holy freedom for the other, that gift Christ gave to us that we freely share with the world, can take us. It can push us towards the intersection of church and the deep needs of our community. It could push us to uncomfortable places. Yet, the world is not made up of islands. We are all connected because we have been set free to be utterly dependent on God and totally focused on our community. So this week, I invite you to think of freedom not as a gift from God that can be used to isolate yourself from the world around you, but to instead see freedom as a gift from God to be understood in the context of communion with another person and the entirety of God's creation. You know, there's a hymn in our hymnal that says, God delights when we are creators of justice. And God delights when we are creators of the way of peace, when we work with God to create peace, the peace that God showed us in the person of Jesus when faced by the tempter's delusions of grandeur. God is calling us out of our built-up walls of isolation and into deep, abiding, caring, loving relationship with every single corner of God's ongoing creation that is so firmly and eternally rooted in love. And it's in that love we find freedom. And in that freedom, we joyfully perform the life-giving work of ministry. In gratitude to the God who created us, all of us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us stand and sing together. Having heard God's word read and proclaimed, we now stand and say what it is that we believe, joining our voices across the ages with the ancient words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, it is indeed you who made us. Thank you. Thank you for the gift of creation. And thank you not just for the gift of creating us, O God, but for creating the world. And creating that all that is seen and yet unseen, thank you. Thank you for loving us so much that you stopped by here in the person of Jesus to show us how we might be more faithful, to show us how we might be more loving, to show us how we might be more just. Thank you. Thank you, O God, for the gift of the church and for the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, leading us, guiding us, hemming us in, sending us out, putting us in uncomfortable places, and reminding us of the goodness of your love. Thank you. And so, God, from a posture of gratitude for your grace, we dare to pray. And so we pray for our world, O God. We pray for those suffering from natural disasters, Libya, Morocco. We pray for those around the world who do not have enough to eat, who do not have a place to sleep comfortably. We pray for those on the margins, O God. May our actions as a church show them your love and your care and your holy welcome. O God, we pray for this city. We pray for leaders. We pray for all those on the margins. We pray for those we forget about. Help us to remember them, O God. Place them in our paths so that we might respond with love. And, O God, it is out of love for you that we dare to pray for ourselves. Oh God, we remember especially the pastor nominating committee of this church as they search for that next leader you are already preparing for them. Give them the wisdom to discern your will. Give them the care to listen carefully. And give them the courage to take bold action and truly respond to the good news of your continuing care for this community of faith. May all our actions reflect your will for us to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with you, O God. O God, in the person of Jesus, you showed us how to live. You showed us a new way, the way of peace. And you reminded us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And this week, O God, by your Holy Spirit, renew in our hearts a spirit of hospitality and a spirit of good news living so that we might reflect your reign of love and its righteousness in this our frail human world. We remember all those on the prayer list, O God, and we ask your loving care, for indeed you are the great physician. And we celebrate with those who celebrate, we mourn with those who mourn, and we trust in the promise of your resurrection. We ask all this and pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Indeed, all that we are and all that we have is a gift from God. And now is the time in our worship as we respond to God's word read and proclaimed that we bring together God's tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. Oh God, we turn these gifts over to you for your ministry, for your witness that we are so grateful to join alongside you, as all may know that you are God and that you are love. We pray it all in your Son's name. Amen. Let us sing together.